Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes. Schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders. Send invoices and more. All in one secure, affordable, and easy to use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Welcome to the Therapist Connect podcast, a podcast for therapists by therapists.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Therapist Connect podcast. My name is Dr. Peter Blundell, and today I'm delighted to be interviewing William Pullen. William is a psychotherapist registered with the BACP, offering short and long-term psychotherapy to adults and young people in West London. As well as offering clients in-person therapy, William also offers dynamic running therapy to his clients. He has an app, and he's also author of Running with Mindfulness, both of which he talks about in this episode.
Peter.
Hi, William. Nice to meet you.
And you.
So, so my first question then is, can you tell us a little bit about how you became a therapist in the first place? Like, what is it that drew you to the therapy profession?
I don't know how many of your fellow listeners are fellow therapists, but I'm assuming quite a few, or the majority. And so I know I'll be in good company when I say that drama and going into therapy myself, that common path for us all. Specifically, I had a sort of romantic meltdown, I suppose, the woman I loved from a different nation, different age, different everything, as many differences as you can imagine, and put myself out on a limb to try to make the impossible work. Of course, when it didn't, I was still out on a limb at a time I could ill afford to be out on a limb. That's the nature of limbs. And had a bit of a meltdown. It was much more complex than that, of course, and went back to all sorts of childhood abandonment issues. But anyway, therapy took me in to becoming a therapist, just like most people, I think.
So a real kind of sense of experiencing it first before wanting to train. And did that happen quite quickly after going into therapy, or was it quite well after you'd kind of had that initial?
No, I think it took, I would say, a year and a half or something of therapy. And I never thought I would train in order to become a therapist. I didn't think I was well suited for it, but I did have ambitions. I'd always been interested in the human condition and self-help books I'd read a bunch of. And I thought, well, who knows? I find the space interesting. Maybe I'll write a book. Maybe nothing will come of it. I'll take it as it comes.
Brilliant. Where did you train then as a therapist?
At Regent's, London.
And how did you find the training?
Well, you know, they're very old school at Regent's, aren't they? It's incredibly, I suppose it's probably compared to most other training places in England, extra white and extra middle class. And so I fitted in there quite nicely. It's a beautiful campus. There was a lot of emphasis on ethics, and it was quite terrorizing at times. But all in all, I was very grateful to be there. You know, it's such a beautiful place, apart from else.
So you did qualify. Can you tell us a little bit then about how your career has developed from then? Because I get a sense you've done quite a few different things, I think.
Yeah, I've got to remember now. As you know, as part of your qualifying, you have to do your placements, etc. And so I did those and then discovered that being a therapist actually was rather rewarding. So I, after I finished my, I think it was 400 hours, however many it was, I set up private practice and did a bit of advertising and got some clients like quite a few other people do.
How did you find that setting up in private practice? I know some people struggle, some people find it quite easy. What was it like for you?
Do you know, I didn't have a burning need to do a lot of hours and pay a lot of bills. I was probably quite fortunate in that sense. And so I, I, I managed to get enough hours to keep myself busy and keep myself happy. I don't know how. I think I was just on the BACP website mostly. I might have been other places. I'd built a bit of a social media profile for myself. Maybe I got some business through that and a bit of word of mouth, maybe.
And it's been no looking back since then. And are you still in private practice now?
Yeah.
How do you define your therapeutic approach, and has that changed at all over the years, or is it stayed consistent?
Yes, well, I would say it has. I mean, I'll give you an example of this. I met a chap recently who is involved in a charity, who reached out to me and asked me if I might become involved in their charity. They had a company that was providing free counseling a certain number of hours to the clients of this charity. That company had dropped out, and he wanted to ask me whether I think what he'd imagined is some sort of supervisor role, whereby I would supervise his colleagues at the charity, not therapists themselves, but these frontline guys that were working with these clients and who were essentially already therapists to them. Anyway, to answer your question, long way around, is that back in the day, as I mentioned, Regent's very, very ethics, very traditional. You know, don't break the frame, don't do anything. You know, since then, I have more and more relaxed. And as I said to this guy, I said, you're in danger of, if any of your clients ever get into trouble, and the people that look after them are claiming to be therapists, sort of therapists, even if not totally therapists, it could all go very wrong for you. I said, but I'm happy to stick my head out and a neck out on a limb, or whatever the expression is. If you are, could go very badly for both of us. There's your answer. Yeah, much more relaxed now than I was. And, you know, I do this running therapy that you know about. And, of course, that's a very much a moving frame. So, I'm much more relaxed.
I mean, I love that. And I think it's quite common, I think, for therapists maybe to come out of training feeling almost like a little bit anxious, like about moving outside of that kind of therapeutic frame and doing anything that was advised against on their training. And then over time, kind of relax into their own approach and style of therapy.
But how do you know when you've relaxed too much?
Well, that's a really good question.
when your client is coming round for dinner and holidays with you.
Yeah, I think that might be too much, definitely. But I think that is an interesting question. And I personally think it's a really exciting time to be a therapist, because I see lots of traditional boundaries being bent or broken or shifted, you know, and interesting conversations happening about that, I think, a lot now. And I think people are practicing in ways that they, you know, many years ago definitely wouldn't have done.
Yeah. No, it is. It's really exciting. And I don't know if it's right or it's wrong, but it's where it's happening. And I'm happy to flow with it until proven wrong.
Well, talking about kind of being outside the frame, you mentioned it a little bit there. So you have developed dynamic running therapy, and I'm just wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what that is and how you ended up kind of developing it.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, after this meltdown, I became I started training to become a therapist. And, well, after the meltdown, I went into therapy, and I was very depressed, and I was at home. It was more than just depression, and I was just, I felt very isolated, and I knew I needed to get out, I knew I needed to move, and I knew I needed help. So I got therapy, but I also took up running with a friend very slowly. He had problems, I had problems. We talked about them. What I noticed is that it's a lot easier talking about your problems when you're on the move, walking, even in a car, or running. And I thought, what a great idea for therapy. This is working for me so well in tandem with my therapy. What would it be like to combine the two? And so it was always an idea that I had. And as I went into private practice, I sort of tested out with friends and runners, that my regular runners who, you know, we were always having deep conversations with all my regular runners. They came so easily. So I slapped a name on it and gave it a little bit more structure. But essentially, it's just sort of, I suppose you'd say, mostly person-centered therapy on the move.
I love that. I'm just wondering how your understanding of that has developed over the years. Has it stayed the same, or has it changed and adapted, like how you do it?
No, I don't think it has. I think all the things, I wrote a book about it called Run for Your Life in This Country. Everything that's in there is the same as it was originally. All the same ideas that made that when I tried to work out why it worked, everything from the fresh air to the what were they called, phytoplasms or whatever that comes off the plants that you know, forest bathing and all of that good stuff combined with all of the change in mechanics around power, side by side instead of facing off, how that favors people, camaraderie, accelerated therapeutic alliance, I believe. All of these things are the same today as they were when I first started. It's very much client-led. I think that's really important. I tell the clients this is regular therapy. It's open-ended. Every session is led by you. If you want to say, I'm no more directive here than I would be out there, but that includes movement. So I'm following your movement. You want to walk, we walk. Run, sit down, whatever it is, I'm following you. And that's interesting because it gives them, I think, it forces them into quite a proactive role, you know. And I think it's better than just that classic position that clients so often find themselves in, where they're unsure what to say, which makes them anxious, which can make them resentful, fearful, all sorts of things that tend to lock people up. With the addition of the body and the possibility of movement, it allows them to distract or burn off or sideline that anxiety and mop up that 10% of self-consciousness and just get moving. And then the words flow. When we're not watching ourselves, everything else flows.
And I love that idea. And I like the idea of person-centered, like literally the client's taking the lead, like where you go to during the therapeutic hour. Do you stick to the therapeutic hour, or does it depend on, yeah, that's, yeah. So you stick to that kind of traditional time zone. You know, with the clients, do people have to be into running, or can clients kind of come along and, as you say, like I suppose they can walk through rather than run if they want to?
Yeah, I mean, even the ones that are runners mostly choose to walk during the sessions. It'll only be sort of 20 minutes out of the 50, I would say, running. I say to everybody, look, you know, at the very least, we need to walk at a good pace at times. Ideally, you're a runner, because I just think that helps a little bit. But we can work towards you getting a runner, but I don't know. You know, I don't want anybody to be struggling. That's for sure. They need to be reasonably fit people, because it's not about getting fit. And if you're not fit enough to do that, then that becomes a thing. And we don't want any more things in there than we've got already.
Yeah. Yeah. Another question I suppose I have is, do you do your supervision whilst running, or is it just the therapy that you have?
No, but it's a good point, actually. I never thought about that.
Also, as well as the running therapy, you have developed kind of an app, which I assume kind of picks up on some of those themes that you were talking about there. Can you tell us a little bit about, it's called the Dynamic Running Therapy app. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it works?
So there's a certain amount of free content on there, which is some mindful walking, mindful running, and meditation. And then if you choose to pay for the content, then you come across two modules, one on anxiety and one on depression. And each one of those is 20 sessions long. Each one of those is 20 minutes long. And you run or walk with me, and I take you through a series of questions about yourself. And then you can record the answers as voice notes on the phone itself in the midst of the session as I'm asking the question. And then you reflect on all of those answers and you write them in your diary, and hopefully We explore your depression, everything from childhood roots to the choices you're making today to the choices you might make tomorrow. Everything we can, we go so far around it so many different ways that hopefully, you know, you become a lot more familiarized with it, and either it gives you some relief, and if it doesn't give you relief, hopefully it gives you some focus and enough focus to push you into full-time therapy, where you can now address with greater understanding and focus.
That sounds really interesting. And I suppose as well, with it being an app, you can obviously then do that in whatever setting you want, you know, when you're outdoors or in whatever space that you feel comfortable in. Yeah,
absolutely. In time, it would be nice if I'm going to add a relationships piece, which I'm just writing at the moment. That'll be another module. But it would be nice if in time I can all of those answers that people have recorded can be submitted to a therapist of their choice from the app, and then, you know, they get a head start that way and be able to do still remote therapy with somebody or teletherapy.
So, I'm coming to the end of my questions now, but I suppose my final question would just be to ask you, have you got anything coming up soon or next or your future plans?
Well, goodness, I'm actually working on a nonfiction book now, which I'm enjoying writing, but I think that'll probably take 3 or 5 or 10 years to finish. So,
Can you hint about what that's about, or is it top secret for now?
It's top secret, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I think that, and as I mentioned to you, a newborn son late in the day, and very excited about that, rejuvenating, and just keeping my life nice and healthy and well balanced and lots to be grateful for.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. It's been really interesting chatting to you.
Thank you.
And good luck with the newborn baby boy as well.
Cheers, Peter. Nice to meet you. Bye-bye.
Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes, schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders, send invoices and more, all in one secure, affordable and easy to use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Thank you for listening to the Therapist Connect podcast. Go to www.therapist-connect.com for more discussions and debates.